Chapter 6 Bartimaeus. I ask you. You fluff a mission, you harass a messenger, and you flatly refuse an order to return. Then you sit back, waiting for the magician to respond. And nothing happens. For hours. No summons, no attempted punishment, nothing. What kind of master do you call that? If there's one thing that really annoys me, it's being ignored. Harsh treatment I can stand. Insulting gestures, likewise. At least they show you're having some kind of effect. But just being left to fester, as if I were no better than that tuppenny imp in the scrying glass, that makes me more than a little annoyed. The day was half done by the time I felt the first tweaking in my essence. Firm, insistent, like razor wire passing through my vitals. The summons at last. Good. Time to go. Not for me any fearful reluctance or holding back. I stood up from the broken chimney, stretched, removed the concealment upon myself, scared a passing dog, made a rude noise to an old lady in the next garden, and lobbed the chimney as far as I could into the street. Owing to my weakness, it didn't make it across the pavement. But boy, the gesture was savage. No more messing about. I was still Bartimaeus of Uruk, Al-Arish and Alexandria. This time I meant business. I allowed the summons to pull my essence up and away. The street fast disintegrated in a welter of lights and coloured bands. A second later, these coalesced once more into the shape of a typical summoning hall. Strip lights on the ceilings, multiple pentacles on the floor. The information ministry, as usual. I allowed my body to reform in Kitty Jones's guise. It was simpler than trying to think of something else. Right. The cursed mandrake. Where was he? There. Sitting behind a desk, pen in hand, staring at a wadge of papers laid before him. He wasn't even glancing in my direction. I cleared my throat, put dainty hands on hips, prepared to speak. Bartimaeus. A gentle voice. Too low to be mandrakes. I turned, saw a delicate young woman with vole-brown hair sitting at another desk in a neighbouring pentacle. It was Piper, my master's assistant, today doing her best to be severe. Her forehead was puckered in something resembling a frown. Her fingertips were steepled sternly. She eyed me like a cross schoolmistress in a kindergarten. "Where have you been, Bartimaeus?" she began. "You should have returned this morning when requested. Mr. Mandrake has had to exert himself to draw you back when he is so desperately busy. It isn't good enough, you know. Your behaviour is really becoming most tiresome." This wasn't what I'd had in mind at all. I drew myself up. "Tiresome?" I cried. "Tiresome? Have you forgotten whom you are addressing? This is Bartimaeus here. Sakra al-Jinni. Ngorso the Mighty. Builder of walls. Destroyer of empires. I have 20 names and titles in as many tongues, and my exploits reverberate in every syllable. Do not attempt to degrade me, woman. If you wish to live, I advise you to pick up your skirts and depart at speed. I intend to speak to Mr. Mandrake alone." She clicked her tongue. "You simply are being quite impossible today, Bartimaeus. I think you should know better. Now we have a little job here for you."
"What? Not so fast!"
In the pentacle I gave a half-step forward. Sparks snapped from my eyes, and a nimbus of coral fire trembled upon my skin. "I'll have things out with Mandrake first. I'm afraid the minister is currently indisposed."
"Indisposed? Baloney, I can see him right there."
"He is busy working on today's news pamphlet. A deadline approaches."
"Well, he can leave off inventing his lies for a few minutes. I want a word."
As part of his attempt to appease the commoners, Mandrake had initiated a series of penny dreadful pamphlets, which told heroic tales of British soldiers fighting in the American wilderness. A typical title was Real War Stories. They were illustrated by bad woodcuts, and purported to be true accounts of recent events. Needless to say, the American magicians were savage and cruel, using the blackest magic and the most hideous demons.
Conversely, the square-jawed Brits always insisted on good manners and fair play, and invariably got out of scrapes by improvising homemade weapons from fence-posts, tin cans, and pieces of string. The war was depicted as being both necessary and virtuous. It was the old, old story. I've seen imps carve similar claims on official stele up and down the Nile Delta, defending pharaonic wars. The people tended to ignore those, too. Miss Piper wrinkled her nose.
"You can have nothing worthwhile to say to him. Now please attend to your mission."
I turned away from her, addressed the figure at the desk. "Oi, Mandrake!" No answer. I repeated myself, only louder. The papers flapped and fluttered on his desk. The magician ran his hand through his short, cropped hair and looked up with a vaguely pained expression. It was as though he were being called upon to remember an old injury in a sensitive spot. He turned to his assistant.
"Miss Piper, please inform Bartimaeus that I'm not remotely interested in his complaints. Remind him that most masters would have punished him severely for his incompetence in battle, and that he is lucky to be alive. That's all."
He picked up his pen once more. Miss Piper opened her mouth to speak, but I was faster.
"Please inform that stubble-headed pipsqueak," I snapped, "that it is imperative he dismiss me on the instant. My powers, while still awesome, are somewhat reduced and need reviving. If he does not agree to this reasonable and just demand, I shall be forced to act in desperation against my interests and his own."
She frowned.
"What's that last bit mean?"
I raised an eyebrow. "He knows." I turned to Mandrake.
"You do know, don't you?"
He glanced at me.
"Yes, obviously."
Too right he did. His birth name hung over his head like a naked sword. With portentous deliberation, he set down his pen once more.
"Miss Piper," he said, "please point out to that pernicious demon that should a certain thought of betrayal even flicker across his mind, I will relocate him to the Boston marshes, where every day a dozen djinn are seen to perish."
"Tell him that this breaks no ice now, buddy. My defences are so low that I'm liable to perish doing his shopping. What do I lose where it happens?"
"Tell him that he surely exaggerates his weakness."
This doesn't sound like the Bartimaeus who rubbed shoulders with Solomon.
"And Faustus, and Zarbustibol."
"Faustus, Zarbustibol, whoever. I'm not giving a complete list. However, tell him, Miss Piper, that if he successfully completes the following mission, I shall agree to his temporary dismissal for purposes of recuperation, and let him be satisfied with that." I sniffed disparagingly.
"Tell him that this offer will only be acceptable if the mission is simple, swift, and utterly without danger."
"Tell him... Oh, for heaven's sake, just tell him what the mission is and have done."
With a flurry of papers and a squeaking of his leather chair, the magician returned to his work. Miss Piper's head came to a standstill. It had been swivelling from side to side like a worried owl's. She rubbed her neck gingerly.
"So get on with it, then," I said.
She looked a bit hurt by my curt tone, but I was in no mood for niceties. Once again, Mandrake had treated me with contempt and derision. Once again, he'd ignored my threats and entreaties. For the thousandth time, I vowed revenge. Perhaps I should just risk America. Go out there and chance my arm in battle. I'd survived such things before, but not when I was anything like as weak as this. No, I'd have to recharge my strength first, and that meant agreeing to this final mission. I waited grimly. On the other side of the room I heard Mandrake's pen go travelling across the paper, scratching out more lies. Miss Piper was evidently relieved that the confrontation was over.
"Well," she said, smiling breezily, "I'm sure you'll find this very simple, Bartimaeus. We wish you to trail a minor magician named Clive Jenkins, keeping track of his every act and movement. Do not allow yourself to be seen or sensed. He is engaged in some kind of conspiracy against the government, and has been involved in murder. Furthermore, we know he is working for the fugitive scholar Hopkins."
That aroused my interest in a vague sort of way.
years since we'd had a lead on him. But I kept Kitty's face in sullen teenage mode.
"Jenkins, is he strong?"
She frowned.
"I don't think so."
My master looked up, snorted.
"Jenkins? Hardly." "He works in internal affairs,"
Miss Piper said.
"Second level. Has an imp named Trucklet. We know that he has been trying to corrupt other low-level magicians. It is not clear why.
He is certainly in communication with Clem Hopkins."
"That's the priority," Mandrake said. "Find Hopkins. Don't act or attack. We know you're as weak as a weevil, Bartimaeus. Just find out where he is. Also, discover what they're up to. If you succeed, I'll—oh, blast it!"
The telephone on his desk had rung. He picked up the receiver.
"Yes? Oh, hello, Makepeace."
He rolled his eyes to the ceiling.
"Yes, yes, I'd love to drop by, love to. But I can't right now. I'm off to council shortly. In fact, I'm late already. What's it about?"
Very mysterious. Maybe later this. All right, I'll try. See you then." He thumped the phone down.
"Got to go, Piper. I'll finish the Boston siege story over lunch. Send it to you by imp later, all right? We can get it printed for the evening fairs."
He was standing up now, stuffing papers into a briefcase.
"Anything else you need to know, Bartimaeus? I don't mean excuses or whinges. Haven't time for them."
My version of Kitty gritted her teeth.
"What about backup? If I get to this Hopkins, there'll be more than an imp guarding him."
"He's just a scholar, Bartimaeus. But even if he's got defences, we don't want you to wade in.
I can send Cormac Codron and the others to deal with him presently, and Miss Farrer's got a lot of police on standby. Just report in to me when you've got the information. I'll give you an open-door injunction. You can return to me whenever you're ready."
"Where will you be?"
"Westminster Hall this afternoon. Devereux's mansion at Richmond through the evening. Tonight, my house."
His briefcase clipped shut. He was eager to depart.
"Where is Jenkins to be found now?"
"Internal Affairs Building, 16 Whitehall. Office at the back. He's a diminutive, ginger-haired little twerp.
Anything else on your mind?"
"You wouldn't want to hear it."
"No doubt. One last point, Bartimaeus," he said. "I've given you my word, but you might encourage me to keep it if you drop that particular guise."
He looked at me then, head-on, almost for the first time.
"Think about it."
He made a complex sign. The bonds that kept me imprisoned in the circle wrapped themselves about me, spun in opposite directions, and sent me spiralling out into the world.